We never can have too many backup song leaders. You know, we've been talking for a couple of weeks about things that are, last week it was how to be positive in a negative world. Did anybody try that this week? Did anybody try the principles and try the procedures that God's Word sets out? I see a couple of heads nodding. I hope you did, because today what we're going to do is we're going to ratchet that up. You know, how to stay positive in a negative world was last week. Today it's, how are we going to earthquake-proof our life? How are we going to prepare for, live through, and successfully triumph in the times when we are experiencing an earthquake? Anybody ever been in an earthquake or a tornado where you've been shaken? Yeah, back in 1998 when the tornado hit downtown, we were in the 26th floor. And you're sitting on the floor where they told us all to get, and the building is literally swaying, and you're thinking, you know, I know these are designed to sway about 10 to 15 degrees. That feels like we're more than 10 or 15 degrees. You know, what's going to happen? Sometimes the earthquakes and the tornadoes are literal. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they are situations in our lives that make us feel like our world is shaking, make us feel like our world is tumbling down, and we need something to cling to. And today we're going to talk about clinging to God. We're going to do a really simple presentation of Psalm 46, because God talks about what to do when your world is falling apart. And in this psalm, Israel was being invaded. This psalm was written about the time Israel was being physically invaded by an army. You're going to see a lot about how to deal with these problems, but I want to cover something first that somebody mentioned last week. When God's Word gives you an answer, a lot of times that answer is simple, right? It's not always easy. And there's a difference between simple and easy. And, you know, we teach God's Word because this is the only hope that we have. And if we follow it, God promises us that we will be blessed. I know it's not always easy to do what God's Word says. And I know that it's not always easy to put your trust in God when all the circumstances around you are like a mountain falling down. We're going to see that today. But what does God's Word say? Either you believe it all or you don't. And I pray that every person in here believes it all, cover to cover, maps included, okay? You need to believe it, because God tells us why He gave us this Word. He said, I wrote this to you so that you may know, and that word means perfectly know, that you have eternal life. You are secure. I am your salvation. I am your rock. I am all that you need. So very simple message, but we need to remember it, because we sometimes forget how complicated we make things today. You think about some of the simplest things in life. A wheel. Pretty simple, right? It's just a circle. But you ever tried to mow a yard with a lawnmower with blocks instead of wheels? It ain't going to work real well, okay? The wheel made things possible, and it's oh so simple. We look back and think, well, how did people not know about that? And when God's Word gives us a solution, you know, when you read it, if you want to argue that this can't apply to you, if you want to argue this is too simple, who are you going to argue with? You're going to argue with God, and that's okay. You go to God, you say, God, I'm reading this scripture. It sounds too simple. Will you tell me how it applies to my life? That is the best thing you can do. If you don't like what you're hearing, you think, God, you just don't know all my circumstances. Yes, He does. I don't, but He does. And He gives you His Word knowing all of your circumstances. You pray to Him for understanding, and He will take that Word and He will drive it deep into your heart. He will drive it deep into your life so that the comfort that He wants you to have as a child of His will be there. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to be timid. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to have a confidence in Him that is second to none. But it's a confidence in Him. So stand, if you will, and let's turn to Psalm 46. We're going to read through it, And then we're going to go back and just dissect it to get the gems out of it that we can. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the Most High place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Who has made desolations in the earth? He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be seated. So you see in here, those of you that like disaster movies, this has got, it's got earthquakes, it's got mountains falling down, it's got floods, but it's got the most important thing in the world. It's got God. God's at the beginning and God's at the end. And we're going to go through this psalm in some detail and really understand three principles that will help us, what I call, earthquake-proof our life. How can we live in such a way that when these earthquakes, literally or figuratively, come, we can be strong in our faith? Now, look, they may come physically. We live near the New Madrid Fault. We have tornadoes, okay? But what's an earthquake spiritually? Well, for Israel, it was getting invaded. What is it for us today? Is it that phone call that comes at 1 o'clock in the morning? No good phone call comes at 1 o'clock in the morning, right? Is it when we get that cancer diagnosis? When we get that bad medical diagnosis? Is it when we check our 401k account and the bottom has just fallen out of the stock market? There's all kinds of things that can be literal earthquakes in our life, literal floods in our lives. There's all kinds of things that can be figurative too. So think about these things. It's not just talking about a real mountain falling into the water. It's talking about the pressures and the problems that are coming upon the people of Israel because they are being invaded at this time. So they're having a spiritual earthquake. And that's what God's is giving us this psalm to give us reassurance of. So the first thing we need to do, according to verse 1, is recognize God's presence. Recognize God's presence. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So what's a refuge? A refuge, according to the dictionary, is a shelter from pursuit, danger, or trouble. A shelter from pursuit, danger, or trouble. And I think that captures what this verse is trying to say. If you look at Psalm 91, it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Now think about my fortress, my fort, my protection. My God, in Him will I trust. So this reinforces, too, that we have to have that personal relationship with God. Because whose God are we trusting? What did he say? My God. You have to have that personal relationship with him. Psalm 27 paints another picture of the protection that God affords us. He says, look, in times of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. So we can run to God. God will be our refuge, and He will literally take us and hide us from trouble when the world is shaking. When our world is shaking, He can be our refuge. Here's the thing. The stock market crashes. Is God there? Yeah, He is. When the stock market goes up, like we talked about in high school Sunday school today. We don't pray a lot in times of good times, do we? Most people have those prayers that happen in times of crisis. We need to develop the prayer life that teaches us to pray in times of good, in times of extravagance, and be thankful for what God has given us. But the point is, He will take, when the world starts shaking, He will be our refuge. He will be the place of our protection. Not only that, but verse 1 also says He's going to be our strength. God gives us strength to endure these earthquakes. You know, Isaiah 40:31 says, "But to those who wait on the Lord, He will renew their strength." Boy, that's tough, isn't it? Waiting on the Lord when the earthquakes happen. Anybody think that's hard? It is. But it is the promise of God that it comes to those who wait on the Lord, because we are so tempted to fix things ourselves, right? And that usually doesn't work real well. And we usually end up finally, as we get to the end of our rope, turning to God. God's plan is that we turn to Him first, that we seek Him as our refuge first, that we seek Him as the source of our strength first. And we realize that He is the source of our refuge and the source of our strength. And then the second part of this verse is so key, and this is really what I want to focus on, is point number one. He is a very present help in trouble. Okay? If you are a child of God, is God always with you? Answer is yes, right? Hebrews teaches us, he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He is always with us. If we don't feel His presence, it's us that has moved, not Him. He's always with us. And this term present carries a kind of a double meaning. He's here, but He's always here. So no matter what earthquake we're going through, no matter what flood we're going through, no matter what problem we're going through, we have to recognize that He is here. Now, notice I didn't say we have to feel like He's here. Sometimes you will feel God's presence, and that is so wonderful when you do. Sometimes you don't feel His presence. That does not mean He's not there. He promises us He's always with us. So that is a fact. And we need to always understand that, because we can always come back to that fact when the earthquake comes, when the flood comes, when the earth-shaking announcement comes. We can always go back to that. It is to realize He is present and to recognize His presence. If you don't recognize His presence, the other two things we're going to talk about will not work for you. You won't see them. You won't understand them. You won't be able to apply them. Okay? So we need to recognize His presence and accept that He is always present. And if we do that, we can take step number two in the earthquake. This one's hard too. But God's word is simple. He says, accept God's peace. Accept God's peace. Look at verses 2 through 7 again, and you're going to see again your earthquakes and your floods. He says, therefore, we will not fear. So here comes the invading army. God says, don't fear. Here comes the earth shaking. The earth be removed, the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We will not fear. Its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. We will not fear. You know, we put a quote in your bulletin this morning, faith laughs at that which fear weeps over. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of assurance, a spirit of confidence in Him. And we can always go to that peace. We can always go to that assurance to calm ourselves and to dispel the fear. You know, it's kind of a natural reaction when that phone does ring at 1 o'clock. What are you going to think? Oh no, right? What's going on? When your child calls crying, Mom, you won't believe what happened. You don't know what's going on, right? There's a moment where you may fear, but you need to capture that moment and say, no, Lord, I'm going to trust in You I'm going to recognize your presence. Lord, let me feel your presence, but I'm going to recognize it, and I'm going to know, therefore, that I can accept your peace because of who you are. Right? So no matter what happens, we're going to be able to have this kind of peace. You know, we looked at last week the scripture that says we have a peace that passes all understanding because it is given by God. People are going to look at you and go, well, wait a minute, how are you handling this situation? You're just in denial. You don't realize what's going on. No, we realize what's going on. We realize that there's something, somebody in control of what's going on, and we put our faith in that someone. And that's why, you see, if you don't recognize God's presence and you don't recognize that God's in this, He's in every part of your life, then you're not going to be able to be peaceful when the mountains start to shift. Simple, right? Easy? What do y'all think? Not all the time, right? That's why I want you to understand the difference between simple and easy. It's very, very important. So we recognize God's presence, we accept God's peace, and then we rely thirdly on God's promises. And I know I keep coming back to this. I think we bring up Romans 8:28 every single Sunday. It's a great verse, though. You know, he tells us that all things will work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Not just the good things, not just the comfortable things, not just the fun things, but all things. Does that mean that the bad stuff that I've gone through in my life is going to work together for my good? Think about the young man we saw in the video. He has a testimony now as a former hater of Christians, as a former hater of Americans. Okay, that's his testimony. I used to hate. Now I love. Now God has shown me how to be. You think that stuff that happened to him before he was 16 is good? As we look at it, no. I mean, famine, death, everything that child saw, no, it's not good. But God molded him. He used all that happened to him to make him who he is. And his testimony is so strong now, that video gets shown in his country. Okay? This is important because God promises us all kinds of things. Look back at our scripture again. We're in verses 8 through, we'll do 8 through 10 here. It says, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. Get that? He ends wars. So here comes the invading army to Israel. He makes these wars cease. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. And then one of my favorite verses of all time is verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. The best translation of that is actually cease striving and know that I am God. So we're going to stop trying to do it ourselves, which is what people do, including, look, I'm guilty of this too, okay? I'm not preaching at you. We all try to strive to fix it ourselves. We need to cease striving and know that I'm God and trust in Him and let Him do His work. Get down on your knees and pray. Say, God, this is what your word says. It's real simple, so I'm going to try it. Get up and then let Him show you it's true. What we do a lot of times is we lay that backpack that's our burden down. We get on our knees. We pray, God, take this burden away from me. We stand up. What's the next thing we do? Yeah, we reach back down, pick that backpack up and put it back on because we're so used to it. That's not what God's Word wants us to do. He wants us to place how many of our cares on Him? All of our cares, right? All of our cares on Him, and He will bear our burdens. Now remember, He says, for my burden is light. Right? He has a burden. We have a burden as Christians, but it's light. And He takes our burdens. He takes our cares. He says, cast them all on me. Be still. Cease striving and know that I am God. I mean, can you imagine that promise to the people in Israel at that time? Stop. Look to me. I've told you, I think this was on Wednesday night, but looking to Jesus is all that we can do. We talked about the story of how Charles Spurgeon actually became who Charles Spurgeon was. He was a Christian in name. One New Year's Eve, it's snowy outside. He's going to church because he didn't have anything better to do. He can't get to his regular church, so he ends up at this little church. He goes in. There's like six or seven people there. The pastor can't get there because of the weather either. So a deacon stands up to do the sermon. And the deacon says, look to Jesus. That's a good lesson, right? Second thing the deacon said was, look to Jesus. The third thing the deacon says was, look to Jesus. And Spurgeon says, I thought he was the dumbest man I ever heard. And then he says, one more time. He said, young man, you look like you are miserable. Have you looked at Jesus? And Spurgeon says, then I looked. And it changed his whole life. He opened his heart and he started, instead of playing the game, he started really doing what Scripture says. He started looking at who God really was. And he said, it changed my life. And of course, we know what Spurgeon became. Listen to this one, Isaiah 54. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You want a promise from God? You are a child of His? Well, what if they hurt me today? What if they kill me today? You know what? You're with God. The worst thing the world thinks they can do to you is the best thing that could happen to you. You're going to be with God. They got no power over us as Christians. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You know, we talked about Romans 8:28. Listen to this one. John 10:29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. So once we become a child of God, we are secure in His hands. Nothing can take us away. So when earthquakes come, we need to recognize His presence. We need to accept His peace. And we need to rely upon His promises. Turn to Luke 7. Because I know some of you told me, said, you know, that's a nice sermon, but it can't be that easy. It can't be that simple. And I want to tell you, John the Baptist, who Christ described as the greatest man ever born of a woman, John the Baptist had his issues with doubt. And I want to show you what he did. And this is what I challenge you to do when you hear a verse that says, it can't apply to me. Because if you are a child of God and these promises, they do apply to you. So look at verse, let's go back to verse 17. This is talking about Luke 7, verse 17. It says, and this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. So John, by the way, is in prison. His disciples come and they report what's going on. They're talking about what Jesus has done. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus saying, are you the coming one or do we look for another? So remember, John had professed who he was. John's having this issue because John's in prison. He's looking at his own earthquake. He's looking at his own problem. And he's saying, you know, I didn't think this is kind of the way this was going to go. Y'all ever been there where plan A doesn't look like it's working? This is just not where I thought I would be at this point in my life. I thought I was going to be the herald. I thought I was going to be doing all this stuff. And John, and he says, when the men had come to him, that's Jesus, in verse 20, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So what did Jesus do? Jesus said, you need to go tell John the things that you've seen me do, the things that you've seen happen, and the results. And you know what? They went back, they reported to John. John didn't doubt anymore. John went to his death knowing Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Knowing full. And having that doubt, that momentary minute of doubt that God's Word really couldn't be that simple, that plain that he had. It was resolved. And here's the key. This is what I want you to take out of it. If you hear a scripture that you think, oh, no, that doesn't sit right. It can't be that easy. Go to God's Word. Go to the Word just like John the Baptist did. Don't go to a self-help book. Don't go to Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, whoever the current doctor is. Don't Dr. Fauci. Don't go there. Okay? Go to God's Word and find out what the answer is. And sometimes the answer is that simple. It is simply that to earthquake-proof our life, we need to recognize His presence, accept His peace, and rely on His promises. Hard to do sometimes, but simple. And just like I challenged you last week to try and stay positive in the negative world that we live in, the challenge this week and for the future is start preparing for the earthquakes. If you're not in a storm right now, you're either in one of three situations. You're in a storm, you just came out of a storm, or you're just getting ready to go in a storm. The storms of life are coming. You know, Jesus told us in this world we're going to have trouble. He said you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have persecutions because of your faith. Look, if they persecuted me, the master, they're going to persecute you, the servant. So we know troubled times are coming. And the time to prepare for a flood, the time to prepare for a disaster, you guys, disaster relief, you know this. You don't do it after the disaster happens. You're ready before. You have to earthquake-proof your life. You have to understand what's going on, who God is. You have to know He's your refuge. You have to know He's your strength and that He is a present help so that you will run to Him as the first reaction, not as the last resort. That's the key. The first reaction, not as the last resort. Now, does that sound appealing to you? I mean, does it sound appealing to be able to run to this refuge, to this strength? It should. This is given to us to be a comfort. It was given to the children of Israel to be a comfort in what they were facing. I mean, look, they have an invading army coming at them and God saying, don't fear. I'm in control. When you have that army coming towards you, that's what God's telling you too. No matter how scary that army looks, no matter how bad that army looks, and no matter how dire your circumstances look, God says, I'm in control. Trust me. Now, that works, and we should be able to do that, but the first thing that we have to be able to say is, you know what? I am a child of God. Because if I am not a child of God, some of these promises don't apply, right? So how do you become a child of God? You should know this, but we have to confess that we are in need of a Savior. We have to admit that we are sinners. And we have to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. That's it. We can learn all these other things after we make that confession, but we have to accept that He is our Savior and that He is our Lord, that He was dead and God raised Him back to life. And if we do that, we can become children of God. So if there's anybody in here who has not made that confession today, look, we say every Sunday, today is the day. There is no reason to delay. You've heard the gospel. Nobody's promised tomorrow. For those of us that are Christians, sometimes we do use God as a last resort, right? Sometimes we get past that initial reaction. We don't run to Him as our refuge and our strength. We run to Him as a last resort. And I don't know if you've seen it in your life, but I've done that, and it doesn't work. We need to run to God as our first response. So if you've not been doing that, pray to God right where you sit today. Say, change my heart. Let me start looking to You first. And if there's any other response, you know, Jesus always taught these stories. He always told these parables. He always taught what He did to evoke a response. So any response that He's leading you to make today, I pray you would make it during the invitation time. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the simplicity of Your Word. We thank You that You have given us a way to earthquake-proof our life, that You are the beginning and the end of doing that. You're there when the shaking starts. You're there when it's going on. And Lord, we know that You're there when it's over. Lord, You're with us throughout all of it. And You have told us to trust in You even while that shaking is going on. Lord, this week we've got some praises. We thank You for recovery of Kenny Monzon and Deborah, that they are doing well. Lord, we pray for Liam Cannon, who has the Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Pray that the doctors would be able, now that they recognize what's going on, to treat Liam and bring Liam back to health. And Lord, we pray for Robbie with his pre-op and his upcoming surgery on the 26th, that You would bless those doctors, guide them and direct them as they do the surgery, and that he pull through this very well, and that You strengthen his family, that they remain faithful and know that You are in control of everything that happens in this situation. Lord, we thank You for Kenley's good report. We ask that You continue to bless all of those who were not able to be here today, Lord. Guide us and direct us in all things. This we pray in His name. Amen.